Listen, everyone makes messes. It's just a part of life. And the bigger you live, the bigger the mess, if you know what I mean. That's why you need Fabuloso. With twice the active cleaning ingredients, it just completely takes the drama out of any mess. It smells great while you clean. The only way to describe it is the scent of passion. And once you're done cleaning, it lasts so long. You know, if you make a mess, you can get your home dramatically clean with Fabuloso. No worries.
We have a brand new number one team in the Big 12 football power rankings this week. That's right. It's not BYU. I'm moving them off the top spot, and I will explain why during the show. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12 Conference, and we appreciate you being here, as always, as a part of the show. So we count it down each and every week, starting with number 16 to number one in our power rankings. That was the feedback I got from you, so I said, fine, I'll do it that way, and we appreciate you guys being a part of it. I know the comments are rolling in. Josh on YouTube saying, don't you dare. I have a good reason. Let me explain. Let me get through the first 14 teams before we get to number one and number two. If you're just joining us, if you're new, make sure you're subscribed. That's the way we keep this show free. So thank you guys. Appreciate you joining us as always as a part of it. And hit that thumbs up on the YouTube video as well and drop that 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Okay. Let's start at number 16, Oklahoma State. And the only reason for that is because I can't put them at number 17. They stink. They got blown out by TCU. It is an embarrassment what this team has turned into this year under Mike Gundy. It looks like nobody even wants to play anymore. I mean, I got to give Ollie Gordon credit. He was still running hard in that second half of the game against TCU. But my goodness, the defense was atrocious. So I've got Oklahoma State at number 16. At number 15, I'm keeping Arizona. Now, they didn't lose this past week, but that's because they were taking on a bye. Although, if they could have lost to a bye, they might have tried to lose to a bye. That's how bad they've been. But you look at Arizona, and you say to yourself, man, that game against UCF is just forever burnt into my memory. UCF has not come close to living up to expectations, and that game was the worst performance for Arizona in over 2 years, according to Pro Football Focus's College Edition. Worst game in over 2 years. That's how bad it was. So Arizona comes in at number 15. At number 14, I'm putting Utah. So 14, 15, 16 remain the same in order as last week. Utah almost ended the perfect season for BYU, but costly penalties and inability to score a single point in the second half cost this team the game, despite, of course, what their ridiculous athletic director, Mark Harlan, had to say after the fact. The miserable season marches on in Salt Lake City. Next up at number 13 in the power rankings, I have got UCF. They were 13 last week. They stay where they are after that loss to Arizona State. I actually thought UCF was the better team in the game, but costly mistakes, bad play calling at the end of the first half helped Arizona State pull off the win. This team has so much talent, and no one has done less with this much talent outside of Oklahoma State this year for UCF. At number 12 in the power rankings, Cincinnati. The Bearcats fall from 8 to 12 after a home loss to West Virginia, who they were favored over by 5 points. Listen, Cincinnati has had a very favorable schedule thus far, but it gets a lot tougher the next couple of weeks. Iowa State and Kansas State. We'll find out whether or not this Cincinnati team is just making big strides because their schedule was more favorable, or if it's because they're actually continuing to progress as a program. I do think they're progressing. The question is really just how much. At number 11, West Virginia in the power rankings is number 11 this week. And I'm looking at them and I'm saying, okay, they pull off a road win against Cincinnati. 3 key turnovers were the difference in that game. And I'm not sure they've got the offense to win the next 3. But all in all, West Virginia pulls off a solid win on the road, and I now think that Neil Brown's odds of returning for 2025 is better than 50-50. You may not like that, but But that's where I see this thing at right now for the West Virginia Mountaineers. At number 10, Arizona State comes in at number 10. Now, they were 10 last week. I didn't really move them up. I really thought they'd outplayed by UCF, but found the way to get it done. Sam Levitt was tremendous on that final drive in the fourth quarter. And if Arizona State can keep the Kenny Dillingham, Sam Levitt combo around, the future is very bright in Tempe. That is indisputable. At number 9, TCU. They beat Oklahoma State on Saturday, but it's Oklahoma State. I kept them at 9. I can't really justify moving them up right now when you beat the worst team in the Big 12. So they get a bye week before closing out the season against Arizona and Cincinnati. So a nice schedule for TCU in hindsight. At number 8, Houston. I moved them down from 6 just because they had a bye week, but there was a lot of action in front of them that I thought was worthy of moving them 2 slots down. They want to make it 3 wins in 4 games against on the road this weekend. They can absolutely do that. I thought this team would get much better as the season progressed. That clearly has happened. And they'll try to keep that good mojo going coming out of the bye this weekend in Tucson. At number 7, Iowa State down from number 4 to number 7. They've lost their last 2 games. The injuries are catching up with them. And that defense did not look good, especially in that first half against Jalen Daniels and the Kansas offense. They are now in a situation where they are giving up, I mean, they are near the bottom of the Big 12 in rushing yards allowed per game. They gave up well over 200 rushing yards on Saturday, well over 5 yards a carry against Jalen Daniels, Devin Neal, and Daniel Highshaw. It has not been a good run defense. That's not usually a deal and an issue for John Heacock. Usually you have a defense when it comes to the rushing game that is one of the best. That has not been the case this year for this program on that side of the ball, and now it's starting to bite them in the butt. Iowa State is giving up 173 yards per game on the ground. That is 15th in the Big 12. That's how bad it is right now for this team. Not good, and I don't see it getting better anytime. 6, at Kansas. They're playing some of their best football of the season, starting to look like the team we thought they could be all season. A Jalen Daniels fumble against Kansas State away from winning their last 3 games against Houston, Kansas State, and Iowa State. So this is who we thought KU was going to be. And here's the great part. One of the best storylines is that while KU has to win out to get bowl eligible, they're not in contention for the Big 12. They play BYU and Colorado the next 2 weeks. While the standings would suggest these games are not what we thought they were going to be, they are huge. If I told you in August that Kansas would play BYU and Colorado with huge Big 12 implications, you probably would have assumed that that's because Kansas was going to be the team a lot of people thought they were going to be, and that's a team that's competing for the Big 12 title. Instead, it's reversed, right? What you've got now is a Kansas team potentially playing spoiler for either BYU or Colorado over the next 2 weeks, playing their best football of the season by a mile. That's what's going to make this so much fun. And this is a perfect time for KU to be playing its best ball. At number 5, I've got Kansas State. They're also coming off a bye week, but their win over Colorado looks better with each passing week, so I moved them up a couple of spots. They're the only team to beat the Buffaloes in Big 12 play. And, of course, they got that gift from KU this past weekend or 2 weekends ago now. I mean, they forced the fumble, but you know what I mean. That helped them out a lot. The Wildcats need help, but if they win out with a Colorado loss, they will be in position to get to Arlington for a Big 12 championship game. At number 4 in the power rankings, I've got the Baylor Bears. I had them at 5 last week, but I moved them up 1 slot because of Iowa State's loss. Their wins over Texas Tech and TCU in particular stand out. They keep looking like very good wins. And now Baylor goes on the road against West Virginia. And if they win that one, boy, it is going to be pretty, very pretty for Dave Aranda going forward. I already think that Dave Aranda saved his job with that win over TCU for 2025. I didn't necessarily think he was going to be going anywhere, but I think that TCU win sealed the deal. If he beats West Virginia, forget it. You can plan on Dave Aranda being back in 2025. At number three, I'm keeping Texas Tech at number three. They lost to Colorado this past week. I couldn't really justify anybody else being in that spot right now because remember, my power rankings are done in large part based on what you've done most recently. It's not necessarily some kind of analytic. It's not an FPI, Football Power Index. It's not any of that. What I do is how your team looked, how it played, and also the previous week's rankings don't necessarily have a huge impact on this week's rankings. That's what I always think makes it more fun. So they're not predictions for how I think the season's going to end. It's just what you've done, who you played, and your most recent performances getting a little bit more weight. So Texas Tech had a great lead over Colorado, and then they just blew the whole thing. They came on late. They tried to close the gap. They could not win the game at home. They can still put together a very good season, but it looks like they're not going to be playing in a Big 12 title game unless total chaos ensues. So I've got Tech at number three. At number two, I have BYU, which means I have Colorado at number one. In the power rankings this week, I have flipped those two teams, and now let me explain why. BYU keeps winning, but playing with fire. Okay? We all know about the off-field drama against Utah and all that happened. Leave that out of it. They got it done when it mattered most. But you look at this game against Utah. You look at the Oklahoma State game. Two of the worst teams in the Big 12 have been way too close for comfort. You look at Colorado. They come back after being down 13-0 on the road against Texas Tech. They're doing it, yes, with offensive flash, but the defensive line continues to get better week after week. And Colorado, in its five Big 12 victories, has won those games by an average of over 17 points per game, and their one loss was to Kansas State, and Kansas State needed a very late, long touchdown play from Avery Johnson to Jace Brown that sealed them that victory. But outside of that, they are dominating the competition. When you look at the eye test and you see what they've actually done on the field, Colorado is playing better football right now than BYU. And it's not, frankly, all that close. BYU has a, and I said this on the Sunday reaction show, so if you're not subscribed to us on YouTube and Spotify and Apple, I hope you would do that. Go back, check out the show as I do a reaction show each and every Sunday after the games wrap up. But BYU feels very 2022 TCU. Really good team, but also is just getting very solid breaks. And that's the reality right now. They are, and they shouldn't apologize for that, right? There's no apology necessary. But I'm telling you right now, I think if Colorado and BYU were to meet on a neutral field, Colorado would be favored slightly. Now, that's not how I do these rankings. I'm just using that as kind of icing on the cake. And they've been playing better football the last couple of weeks. I mean, BYU is struggling with the worst competition in the Big 12. If you think that Oklahoma State and Utah are at the bottom of the Big 12, and everything would suggest they are, and BYU is beating those two teams by a combined 4 points, where Colorado's blasting its competition by an average of 17 points and 5 wins, I don't think it's all that controversial. I don't think it's a hot take. I don't. So those are my power rankings for this week. It's not as simple as Colorado having one Big 12 loss and BYU not having any. That's not how I do power rankings. I don't think that's how anybody should do power rankings, especially when now in a 16-team conference, you're not doing a round robin. I've been doing this now at Heartland College Sports for 10 years. And when I started, you had a round robin schedule in the Big 12. You had that up until a couple of years ago because you had 10 teams and 9 conference games. That's not the case anymore. So I don't think you can do this simply based off of who has lost and who has won. And that's why, to me, I won't do it that way. Nick says on YouTube, Colorado got dunked on by a bad Big Ten team. I agree. I totally agree. But I think Colorado today, if they played Nebraska, they'd beat them. Here's the thing with Colorado. Colorado is the kind of team where when you have that many transfers, if it's going to click, it will take some time. And damn, it's clicking really well right now. I wouldn't want to play them. They're a much better team than a couple of months ago. So you stack that all together, and that's how I think you end up in a situation here for the Big 12 where Colorado right now is the team I don't want to be playing. Also on YouTube, Pete, can we admit there's no great team in the Big 12? Well, the question was no good team. There's a lot of really good teams. Is there a great team? No. But I don't know if there are many great teams in college football right now. That being said, do I have concerns the Big 12 only gets one team into the college football playoff and it doesn't go well? Absolutely. The only scenario for the Big 12 to get two teams in is an undefeated BYU losing a close game in the Big 12 championship. That's it. That's the only path left for the Big 12 to get two teams in. So it's a fair thing to say. I, yes, have concerns about how the Big 12 will perform in the college football playoff, but we will save that for later in the season. Let's see how the rest of the year goes. Josh says, all due respect, Pete, I disagree, but I'm wrong most of the time, according to my wife at least. Well done there, Josh. Me too, buddy. We're all wrong according to our wives, right? That's okay. That's why I do the show, so I can pretend I'm right once in a while. Although my picks did go 2-1, and we are 4-1-1 the last couple of weeks. So we're starting to get a hot streak going with the picks against the spread. Now, I want to address this. Spend a few minutes here on Heartland College Sports talking about something I saw from Joel Klatt. Joel Klatt, of course, of Fox Sports, responded to a lot of people complaining about Ohio State getting another big noon kickoff next week when they take on Indiana. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Thanks for joining us, as always, as a part of the show. And Klatt is obviously going to defend his TV network. He's going to defend his employer, Fox Sports. But I want to dig in and take you behind the scenes on what Joel Klatt actually had to say. He said here, a lot of talk about Big Noon Saturday. Here are some of the things I think you should know. Big Noon Saturday has been the most watched college football window for the last few years. Prior to Big Noon, this window in college football was non-existent. Okay, I get it. But once again, fans are upset that Ohio State and Indiana is kicking off at 11 a.m. Central Time versus being a night game for this top 10 matchup. Joel Klatt says Fox Sports saw a clear opportunity to build value into the sport by creating a third window for premium college football. And so far it's worked, meaning that 11 a.m. Central Time slot. The Big Ten entered into the partnership with three network partners, and those partners have exclusivity in their preferred window. Fox at noon Eastern, CBS at 3:30, NBC at 7. He says here, we had the privilege to select one of the great matchups of the week when we showcased that game in our premium window. He says, I love this sport. I'm committed to showcasing the incredible environments, programs, and players. You will find me and the entire hardworking Fox Sports Big Noon crew wherever we are sent, celebrating this great sport and its amazing fans. So this is the problem right now in college football. The TV networks are the commissioners. The sport itself has no strength. They would if they would come together and operate as a single unit, but they don't. They're not willing to do that. See, imagine if you had the NFL operating like college football. There are games in the Big 12, as of course a Big 12 media outlet, that you don't know when it's kicking off until 6 days before. It is an insult to the fans. But here's the thing. There's not a cohesive unit in college football that will effectively push back on this. The NFL does not allow changes in kickoff times. And of course, you get the kickoff times for the entire season in what, May? And then, of course, in what, December, the NFL can allow its TV partners to pick and choose a couple of games to change out, right? If they have a Sunday night matchup that turns out to be a crappy matchup because the teams aren't meeting expectations, NBC is allowed to switch out a game here and there, but that only comes late in the season. You know you're taking a chance. College football, you've got games that you don't know what time they're kicking off until 6 days before. It is true the fan is getting screwed here. That is indisputable. And I'm a big Joel Klatt fan. I actually think that Joel Klatt is the best analyst in all of college football. Huge fan. He's kind of the white whale I want to get on this show at some point. But he's obviously going to defend his employer. That's his job. But until college football comes together, the power conferences come together and realize they're stronger as a single cohesive unit like the NFL. Instead of doing this thing where the Big 12, the SEC, the Big 10, they all sign these deals and the real commissioners of the sport are ESPN and Fox and to a lesser extent CBS, NBC, CW, and the others. You have the TV networks running the show at the expense of the fans. And at some point, there's going to be some backlash. I don't know when. I can't predict it. But I do know this much. Fans are being asked right now for more than ever before. Your tickets are more expensive. You're asked to donate your hard-earned money to name, image, likeness funding. The beers aren't getting any cheaper. Your parking is through the roof. And oh, by the way, your kickoff times in too many cases stink, and you don't even know them in some cases until 6 days before the game is played. At some point, I don't know when, and I don't know what's going to trigger it, but at some point, fans will say enough is enough. And that's why if the leaders in this sport are serious about getting things back on track on behalf of their fans, who are their customers, who they cannot survive without, they will desperately try to come around the table and figure out a way to create a system that is commissioner-based and realize they are better together than they are apart, and they're better together than they are stealing each other's teams. Put your 60 Power 5 teams together, Power 4 teams together at this point, and basically create divisions that look exactly like the conferences did 25 years ago and call it a day. Build a playoff around that how you see fit, but then you have leverage, you have a negotiating arm, and you have protection. So now you don't have ESPN, Fox, and all the others saying, guess what? We're not going to tell your fan base when your game is played until 6 days prior. It might be 11 in the morning. It might be 8 o'clock at night. You don't know. Sorry. We're running the show here. This sport has allowed TV to run the show. And it's become a huge problem. Oklahoma fans were complaining about Big Noon Kickoff for years because when Big Noon Kickoff was getting developed, when Fox said, you know what, this noon Eastern time slot is undervalued. We want to build up the noon Eastern time slot. They stuck Oklahoma in there a lot. And OU fans understandably got kind of annoyed because that's 11 o'clock too. At least for Ohio State, it's noon. For OU, it was 11 a.m. And OU was convinced that once they got to the SEC, that wouldn't happen. Now, as far as I can tell, they've had a handful of 11 a.m. games, and now they stink, so no one cares when they play anyway, but that's not really the point. The point is, you look at everything going on right now in this sport, and it's not driven by the teams, it's not driven by the conferences, it is driven by the TV networks. And once you realize that's how that game is being played, and that it's at your expense as a fan, the sooner you at least understand what's going on here. What Joel Klatt laid out is true. But it doesn't mean it's beneficial for the fan base. It just means it's beneficial for Fox. And it is. But here's the next question. And this is where it gets hairy. Because there were a lot of fans saying to Joel Klatt, hey, if Ohio State's going to have to play half the games at noon Eastern time to try to benefit Fox, the TV partner, to make them money, then why don't we get a bigger cut of the pie? If we're carrying the conference, why are we equally revenue sharing with Rutgers? And that's where the super conference conversation will continue to pick up steam. if Michigan and Ohio State say to themselves, hey, we are sick of carrying this conference with these early kickoff times to make the TV partners money because they got to pay the Rutgers of the world and all these other conferences and all these other low-hanging fruit teams got to make the same as the top dogs. Why are we doing this? And that's not an unreasonable ask for the fans. But I think what the fan has to realize of these so-called blue blood programs is that we're all better off with what these conferences looked like a generation ago, 50 to 60 teams, split them up into five divisions, cut down on travel, have the old Pac-12, the old ACC, Big 12, everything else, and then you develop a playoff around that. You still are going to need the lower teams, the perceived lower teams around the country to really make this thing work. It will be good for the sport as a whole. And then you can build it out around that. That makes sense for everybody. That's a win for everybody except for the TV networks who won't want this. But guess what? It's power in numbers. They want your product. The problem is no one's in charge of your product, and that product being college football. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Thank you guys, as always, for being here as a part of the show. So appreciate you doing it. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Hit that thumbs up as well. We'll have more reaction this week as the college football playoff rankings drop. I'll have a preview for week 12 later on in the week. That's why you want to be subscribed. I'm Pete Mundo. Have a great rest of your day. Go Big 12. We'll talk to you soon.
Listen, everyone makes messes. It's just a part of life. And the bigger you live, the bigger the mess, if you know what I mean. That's why you need Fabuloso. With twice the active cleaning ingredients, it just completely takes the drama out of any mess. It smells great while you clean. The only way to describe it is the scent of passion. And once you're done cleaning, it lasts so long. You know, if you make a mess, you can get your home dramatically clean with Fabuloso. No worries.